Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzadik Gimel. We're holding the final line of Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. There was a Mishnah that the Gemara quoted yesterday, starting two lines before the wide lines, talking about situations which are not present but are futuristic. Just to go through the Mishnah again, two lines before the wide lines. Tatnan, Ro'im le'isha hari at mikudeshes li le'achar she'ez gayer. You have a Gentile goes over to a young Jewish lady and says to her, I'd like to go and marry you. And she says to him, but you're not Jewish. Yeah, but I'm about to become Jewish, and Amir Hashem, within 1 week, I'll have completed my Mila, my Kabbalah Mitzvahs, my Tevila, I'll be a full-fledged Jew. I don't want to lose out on the opportunity of marrying you. Maybe somebody else will come and propose to you before. So I'm proposing you already now, and I'm giving you already a ring right now. Hariat mikudeshesli, I want you to be mikudesh to me. Not now. La'achash is gayer, as soon as I convert. And similarly, what happens if he's a Jewish man, but she is a non-Jewish lady, and she's willing to marry, but she's not Jewish, but she's in the process of conversion. So he says to her, La'achash tis gayri, when you become miguyeres. Not now. I give you now the ring, and it should be chal. Chal means it should be effective after you convert. We're talking about that either he is an Eved or she is a Shivcha, and he says, I expect to be freed any day now. She expects to be freed. Or this is talking about a woman whose husband, unfortunately, is apparently a Shchivmara. He's on a deathbed. So a person comes to her and says, I know you can't get remarried now, you're at the moment an Ashes Ish, but if and when your husband passes away, I want to be Mekavish you. Well, the Achish Thomas Achish Seich. Person is married to a young lady who has a sister. And the young lady to whom he's married, unfortunately, she's also Nebuch on the deathbed. And therefore, the man says to the sister, if and when she passes away, I want to go and marry you. Or the Achish Yachlitz Loch Yevom Meich. You have a Shemeres Yavam who's waiting for the Yavam to go and give her Chalitza. So he says, I can't go marry you now, but as soon as the Chalitza takes place, I want to marry you. So in each one of these cases, at the moment, there's no possibility of matrimony, of getting married. In each case, because of the various circumstances. In each case, however, he says, I want to do a Maisei Kedusha now, and the Chalois, that means the effectiveness, should take place after these circumstances end and fade away. What's the din? Says the Mishnah, Eina Mikudeshes, and as we said yesterday, this Mishnah stands for the principle that Ein Odam Makna Dover Shaloi Bolo Oilo. You cannot go and acquire, you cannot go and sell, you can't deal with anything that is at the moment non-existent. All of these circumstances, to be able to go and marry now, it's impossible to marry now. Yet Hashem, when the time will come, you'll be able to marry then. So that's the rule of Ein Odam Makna Dova Shaloi Boli Odam. The Gemara wanted to say that this Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe Kiva. So skipping all the way down to the last line, the Gemara says, how can you say that this Mishnah goes in accordance with Rabbi Kiva? I hashaminan leil Rabbi Kiva, the Odom matne dova shaloi bolo oilam. We find elsewhere that Rabbi Kiva holds that you can be matne something which at the moment is non-existent. Where do we find that? It's not. We find it in the Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Koinim shani oisil aficha ein tzarech lahafer. You have a man and wife. The halacha is that when a husband and wife are married, all of her ma'asi yodayim, that means all of her income, goes to her husband. And the reason is because the Gemara says her ma'asi yodayim are tachas mezoinas. He has to take upon himself to support her and give her food. And so therefore, in return, she has to go and give any income that she might be producing and give it to her husband. So what happens if one day she is in a fit, she's very upset at her husband, and she makes a koinim. Koinim is a neder. And she says, I am neder against you, all of my ma'asi yadayim, which means that I hereby preclude you and asur upon you, I prohibit you to go and take my ma'asi yadayim, my income, that I'm receiving my salary. Okay, does that work? Does it not work? Says the Tanakama, ein tzarech lahafer. the husband doesn't even have to be mefer. He doesn't have to annul that vow. Why doesn't he have to annul it? Because it doesn't belong to her. This maisi dime that she produces belongs to him. Rashi uses the expression, she cannot go and take away his right to her maisi dime. It belongs to him. That's the rule and regulation of the ksuba, that she gets the mezainis, he gets the maisi dime. So the husband doesn't even have to go be mefer. He can just ignore what she says. He can laugh, he can snicker and say, what you did is meaningless. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, no. The offer, he should be mefer after all. Maybe she's going to produce more income than to which he is entitled. Now, how much is he entitled to? So Rashi quotes part of the Gemara Masechtas Ksubis, which says that the amount of Maasi Yadayim that he is entitled to receive, if she happens to be a weaver, a seamstress, a person who is involved in sewing, then he's entitled to receive Mishkol Hei Sloim Shesi. Shesi is talking about the vertical of a Shesi Erev. You have the vertical and you have the horizontal, the warp and the woof. Anyway, he is entitled to get 5 Sloim from her Maisi Yadayim. What happens if she works extra hard? Instead of just working 8 hours a day, she works 10 hours a day, and she produces 6 Sloim instead of 5 Sloim. Says Rabbi Akiva, that is what we call ha'adofa. Adofa means odef, that is extra, a bonus, an addition, that she is entitled to receive, and he does not have any direct right to get that additional amount. Ah, so now if she is going and saying, I prohibit you, my husband, from using that additional amount, then he has a right to go and annul that part of the neder and say, I don't want you to make a neder like that. That neder is, of course, infringes on me, doesn't infringe on my absolute right, because I'm only entitled to 5. You made now 6, but I would like to have the benefit of that 6th. Not that I'm going to grab it away, but if you go and buy with that extra 1 some additional delights and treats, I'd like to be able to participate. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, he can and he should be mefer if he's not happy with that neder, because maybe she's going to produce more income than what he's entitled to. So makes a chafar.
Mechanically, a person could be mefer somebody else's neder.
When you say someone, a husband to a wife, and a father to a
child.
Also, you can go and be maternated by going to 3 rabbis or to a chacham mumcha. Otherwise, I cannot be made for your neder, you cannot be made for my neder. Baruch Hashem, we are not husband and wife. However, if it happens to be not, they don't like you, but yeah. But if you have a husband and wife, the husband has the absolute right to be made for her nedarim. By the way, not all nedarim. Actually, when we learn Masechta Nedarim, there are various categories. It's got to be Beinoyu Veina or Inoy Nefesh. We can't give a full shiur today on Masechta Nedarim, but actually, when we get to it, you'll see if a father can go and be made for the nedarim of his daughter. Not all daughters. It's got to be she's a katana or a nara. Not when she becomes a boigeris. Not when she gets married. If she's an arusa, they both share. There are many complicated rules and regulations, but as a basic rule of thumb, if a husband can be made for the nedarim of his wife. So Rabbi Akiva says, let him be made for. Why? Because Shema had to follow up. Maybe Shemata had to follow up. Maybe she's going to produce more than to what he is entitled, and therefore Tanakam is right. If it's only going to be 5 Saloim or less, it doesn't belong to her, it belongs to him. However, says Rabbi Akiva, but it might be more than 5, so to be on the safe side, make Afa. Now, that's a fascinating rule, but what does the Gemara want to extricate from this Mishnah? It wants to go and prove that Rabbi Akiva holds that Odom Makna Dovah Shalei Baloilam. How? Where do I see that? Because when is she going to get her salary? When is she going to get her income? Next week, after she works for a full week, and maybe after 2 weeks, whenever the salary date is. At the moment, she's not entitled to anything because the work was not accomplished, was not performed, and the check is not in the mail because the Maaseh Yadayim haven't been performed yet. So that being the case, says Gemara, how can a person even make a neder on what I'm going to produce in the future? If she already receives her salary check and she says, husband, I'm angry at you and therefore I'm making a neder that you shouldn't go and use these funds, that I can understand. It's boiler. She has the money in her hand, in her bank account. She's making a neder. Says the Tanna Kamma, don't bother being mefer because of the fact that he's entitled to all that money anyway. Well, Rabbi Akiva says, no, maybe she has six instead of five. So don't go make a hafara. But over here we're talking about it doesn't exist yet. It's talking about Shani Oysel Aficha, which I'm going to go and make. So that's a Dabash Lebal Oilam. The Choyra and Neder shouldn't be Chal in the first place. Is the Choyra a Rai that Rabbi Akiva holds an Odom Makne Dabash Lebal Oilam? My law. No, we learned about that. Omer of Huna Bered Rabbi Yeshua. Be'oimeres. It's not talking about that she made a neder on the Maisiyadai, which means the non-existent salary cash that she is going to be receiving, but rather she made a neder on her hands. And he said, you see these hands which are going to produce that income? I am now make a neder on these hands that you, my husband, shouldn't have any rights to these hands in terms of whatever these hands can produce and are producing. Therefore, since the hands are boilam, oh, so then that a person can be makne, just like any other dovash boilam. So therefore, you have no riot to a dovash boilam. Had she said, I'm being maknish my future salary, you're right. That would be a riot that Rabbi Akiva holds, or the makne dovash boilam, because the salary doesn't exist yet. But if she's talking about her hands, the hands are in existence, and therefore, no raya that Odom Makna Dosh L'Olam. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva could be the Tana of that Mishnah after all.
But she doesn't use that language. She says Shani Osa L'Ficha, which is a Chetza base, the thing I'm going to produce, not on the Gav or Geveret on her hands. It's a different language.
And that's exactly the Kasha of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, she didn't use the terms Ani Osa L'Ficha.
Okay.
She used the term Be'oimeres. She says, I am making a neder on my hands. So now, what the Gemara has concluded is that Rabbi Akiva can subscribe to the rule of Ein Odom Makne Dovash Eloi Boi La'olam, and therefore, that's why Rabbi Akiva could be the Tana of that Mishnah that said that if any one of these things are going to transpire in the future, I mean Makdishu Mekadishu now, I give you the money right now, Ein Mekudeshu, because Ein Odom Makne Dovash Eloi Boi La'olam. I see that Rabbi Akiva holds that you can be Makna. No, there you're talking about there was a Dovash Ba'olam, Yikachi Adlo Yisem. It's present and not future. However, this beautiful Pshat of Ahuna Pared of Yeshua argues with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Uplid Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Yor Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Huna, Kirav, Virav, Kirab Yanai, Virab Yanai, Kirab Chia, Virab Chia, Kirabi, Verebi Kirab Meir, Verem Meir Kirab Leizim and Yaakov, Rab Leizim and Yaakov Kirab Akiva, the Omar, all of these very distinguished Tanoim and Amirom, all hold Adam Makne Dava Shaloi Bala Oilam, including Reb Akiva, which means that Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak declined to reinterpret the Mishnah that it's talking about Ba'imeres Yikachi Yodei Lo Yiseyem. He learned the Parshim Pshat that she was noider on future earnings, future income, and it works because Adam Makne Dava Shaloi Bala Oilam. Where do we find this Reb Nachman Bar Yitzchak and this long list of very distinguished Tanoim and Amirom that they all hold Adam Makne? The Gemara is going to go through each and every one of them separately. And we start with Rav Huna, because that was the first one on the list. Go back to the list. Yom Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Huna, and then Rav, and then Rav Yanai, and then Rav Chia, and Rebbe, Rav Meir, Rav Leizim and Yaakov, and Rav Akiva. We're going to go and have an example for each one. How do I know Rav Huna? Rav Huna, ma we learn? What happens if a person goes and sells all of the future peiros of this tree? They don't exist yet. They are still inside in the bark of the tree, but they haven't come down yet. They're going to emerge eventually. Okay, see, person goes and sells in advance at the beginning of the season to somebody else. Says, Yankel, you know, every single year this tree produces 50 oranges. I'm going to sell you all the 50 oranges now in advance. I'm going to give you a real wonderful deal. All 50 oranges for $5. I'm a mitzia. So what does that work? Rav Huna, actually, boli oylam yochalachzibar. As long as they have not emerged from and budded and blossomed from the tree, they're still in the future. Yochalachzibar, the moichin go and change his mind.
Even if he accepted money,
Even if we're talking about giving money, he can go and change his mind. Why? Because they are davar shalei boli oilam. The shabol oilam, once they do emerge, and these payers are now out there in the open, and yochalach sabay, he can no longer go and change his mind. Even when they do emerge, you can go and change your mind until and unless he actually delivered the goods. Now, where do we see in Rav Huna that Rav Huna holds Odom Matne Dovah Shaloi Bola Odom? If you look at the Rashi in the middle, start about 12 lines from the top of the Amid. Hamoy Chaperis Tekel, Be Moisak Shomim during the winter months. Actually, Bola Odom, Imbo Lachser Boy Koidem Nisim. When do we see that the fruit trees start to bud? In Nisan. That's why we make the bracha on the Ilonis in Chodesh Nisan. That's when you start seeing the budding of the leaves and the flowers and all that. Then they start emerging. Until that point, Yochel Achzavai, he changes mind. Mishabolo Oilam, once the fruit, however, emerged, and Yochel Achzavai, he also, as soon as the fruit come out and you see them, oh, what a beautiful orange. Chayil's vini, then the old machira that was done a couple of months ago is chal. Chal means it's effective. How is it effective? When he went and sold it to him back in September, this was a barren tree. There wasn't one, not only wasn't there a fruit on the tree, there were hardly one leaf on the tree. Only the leaves only started coming in March and April. And then the pears started emerging in April, May, June. So how could he possibly sell it? We see from this, Rav Huna holds that you can go and sell something even though it's non-existent. It's true, says Rav Huna, you can have charot, you can go and change your mind until they emerge. But if you did not change your mind, this happens to be a fully effective sale. Well, by the way, it's not only that the mocher can go and change his mind, the lokeach can also change his mind. The reason why we always focus on the mocher is because vis-a-vis the lokeach, he typically does not want to change his mind because he got a rock bottom price. Anytime that you buy pre-season, based on that in another few months if these payers are going to emerge, he makes a cheshbon. Oh, so 3 or 4 months until it happens, I'll go and give him only 25% of the price, and then miyatushem, another few months from now, oh, I'm really going to hit it big. But the ma'isa, either one of them can go and change as long as the payers have not emerged as yet. Once they've emerged, and you'll collapse away because it's already chal. It's a double boiler. I see it. Therefore, you can't change it. But Nachman Omer, even after they come up, you can yochalach sabay until he actually hands it over. However, Omer Nachman, we did one thing. I agree. The shamed va'ochel. What happens if the lokeach says, "I can't wait so long," and he grabs and he schleps off a couple of fruit from the tree and he begins to eat it? You can't go and take it away from him. Even though Omer Nachman holds, you retain the right to have charota until you actually deliver the goods. But nevertheless, if the person did self-delivery, he went and pulled some of the goods off by himself, he can't take it away, because now he's kite. So anyway, what do I see from this Rav Huna? That Odom Matne Dovah Shalei Bolei. Then the next one on this long list was Rav. How do I know Rav? Rav Diyom Rav Huna Amar Rav. Oh, Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, and that's how Rav Huna got his halacha. What did Rav say? Ima l'chaveri so lezun shani l'ikeach l'kish ekochena k'nuy l'cham me'achshav. See that field there? It doesn't belong to me, but I am in discussions to buy that field. I'm hoping that I will be successful. The lawyers, of course, are tying back and forth and making changes to the documents. We're still working on the price, but it looks good. When I buy, when I close on the transaction, and it belongs to me, I'm ready, makne to you already now. It'll belong to you immediately. Says Rav Huna Amar Rav, kana, it works. You know, but the property doesn't belong to me. The property of the moment belongs to Jack Smith. It doesn't belong to me. But a person can be makne tova shaloi b'loim. Obviously, if he never closes on the deal, then the lokeach will never get it. But we're talking about a case where if eventually the deal closes and it belongs to me, now it belongs to you because I'm giving it to you either as a matana or I'm reselling it.
Flipping it.
Or actually says it's talking about a case of matana, and therefore it'll belong to you immediately.
Aren't there ribbis problems entering into this? That if I sell something speculatively, and I get the money up front for $100.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm saying,
you're talking about in the earlier case.
In the earlier case, even now, in this case, even
this
in this case,
you're giving it to him for free.
All right, okay. If you always think if you sell it, but aren't there ribbis issues shadowing this?
It depends on how you structure the transaction. If you structure it properly, for that you have to have a good rabbinical lawyer that knows Hilchas Kosher Mishpat, not so much Kosher Mishpat. Hilchas Ribbis is not Kosher Mishpat, it's in Yeridea. But you have to be careful the way you structure it. If it looks like, smells like a loan, then you're in trouble. But if it's an absolute sale, if it's structured correctly, you shouldn't have it.
Sorry, the Hanbe Ribbis.
I'm sorry? Yeah, Sutra, and you have Sadech Ribbis, you have Avak Ribbis. It's true. Eventually, we get to Bamatsia, Zog. And he's a Nashech, we'll talk about it in much greater detail. Right. Anyway, so we've now gone through Huna, we've talked about Rav, and now we get to Rav Yanai. Rav Yanai ki Rav Chia, Rav Yanai havali arisa, v'hamamaisi lekansa de pevi kol mali shapsa. Rav Yanai had an oris, as you know, is a sharecropper, and this sharecropper would go and produce peiris, end of the season, would go and cut all the peiris, and he would go and bring a kansa de pevi. Kansa means a basket of fruits, to Rav Yanai on every Komali Shabson, every Friday. And then when he would receive the fruits, Rav Yanai would go and give Trumas and Maisris so that he'd be able to have Onik Shabbos. That Friday night and Shabbos day, he would be able to go and have a nice array and assortment of fruits that he would have for himself and share with his family and friends. And this was the standard custom every single Friday. Now, Yanai, but there was one day, and that was one Friday, Nogale, the Oris came late. So now Rav Yanai says to himself, I know he's going to come very, very late. What do he do? He knows how much the kansa de peiri contains. In other words, every week it was the same standard number and volume of peiris. He says, I know how much that's going to be. I have some peiris at home which are tevo. I'm going to go and give maisa from my peiris which have tevo onto his peiris. Peiris which I'm going to receive eventually. And Baruch Hashem, eventually he went and received it. But he had not received it at the time that he gave the Trumas and Maisris. The question is, what he did, was that correct or incorrect? Also the comment of Rav Chia. So Rav Yanai asked Rav Chia, Omalei Shaper Av, this good kitan, what you did was great. Why so great? To sign it says in the Pasuk, Matilma the years Hashem Kecha Kol Hayom. Now this Pasuk is at the end of a lengthy Pasuk, which talks about giving Trumas and Maisris from your teva. Then it says the end. Until Madiyas Shilekhim. What does this have to do with giving Trumas and Maisris from teva? So I learned Kala Yomim Elusha Basav Yom Tayyim. So this includes specifically and expressly and especially Shabbos and Yom. So Frank Mother Maihilcha said, what do you have in mind? Elaim Mala Asure Umeichel, are you telling me that you're allowed to go and give Trumas and Maisris on Shabbos? And that's what the Pasuk is coming to tell you, that I might have thought that it's prohibited, and therefore I'm telling you, Kol HaYomim, you can give Trumas and Maisris on Shabbos. Yitzchak Kro Mishri Tiltu Rabbana, meaning that the Isra of giving Trumas and Maisris on Shabbos, or on Yom Tov for that matter, well, let's talk about Shabbos, is Min HaTorah, there's no issue. Min Rabbana, there's a problem. The reason why there's a problem, Min Rabbana, Al Gemara calls it Tiltu, which Gemara does sometimes, it refers to Tiltu, but really it's because of Tikkun Mana. Tikkun Mana means that just like you're not allowed to go and fix something, if my table breaks and one of the legs falls off, I'm not allowed to go and bang it back on Shabbos, because that's called Mesakin Mana. So here too, if you have Tevel, which is inedible because it's Tevel, and you want to go and fix it, you don't fix it by taking a hammer and nail or something like that, but what you do is, you're Mafish Trumas and Maisus. Midrabban, you're not allowed to do that. The reason why the Gemara calls it Tiltu perhaps is because since you're not allowed to go and be mitaking the Teva, then automatically it's Muktza because you have no use for it on Shabbos, and therefore it is an Isser Tiltu. You're not allowed to go be mitaltalim. But all of this is a rabbinic discussion of Drabban. I mean, I'll tell you, there's no problem of Tikkun Mana, Legabe, Trumas and Maisris, and there's no problem of Muktza. So, Ibazoi, do I need a Pasik Lafuke and tell you, don't worry, there's no Isser Drabban? The Rabbanan only made their takanas years and years later. So that doesn't sound right. So what do I learn from this kaliyam? El olav ki ay gavna. Oh, rather what they're telling us is that even though vis-a-vis Reb Yanai, he didn't own the peiros yet, so as far as he's concerned, these are peiros shleibo li oilam. If you look at the top Rashi, alav ki aygavna de mutter le aser alma shleibo li oylam vi osed lovoy le tzoyrech oynig Shabbos. Because you want to have oynig Shabbos, the pasuk is telling you kol yom that you're allowed to go be mafish shumas and maizes on something shaloi bo li oylam.
It's not.
Okay, please, just give me 1 second. Now, what Barry wants to ask is, these payers are boiling. It's
yes.
Not as if, see, if you just let me breathe. These payers are boiling. The best rai is that after he gave Trumas and Maisers, a half an hour later, the Oris showed up with payers. It's not that an hour ago they didn't exist, and presto, boom, and now you have payers. So they did exist. So what does it more mean that it's a dovish lebogai? So this question is not only bothering Barry and the rest of us. Look at the last choices on the bottom of the Omid Aleph. Maisi comes to the Peri, Omri, the Mishal Oris Hava. These Peris didn't belong to Rabbiani, they belonged to the Oris. So you know it's in Rabbiani. He would give it as a present to Rabbiani every Erev Shabbos. The Imishal Rabbiani, Lechoshim Dovishla Bola Oilam. If they belong to Rabbi Yanai, and it's just a question of the delivery man, the shliach, then that would not be considered a davar shaloi bala oilam. It exists, it's just not here. It's further away. Skipping one line to the bottom of the choices, you see the loy mestaver loyma, right? After the parentheses. The mestaver loyma, it's not logical to say, so the choshev hacha biyod and lefisha yorochik mehet. Oh, maybe the reason why it's a davish lebala oilam is because it's not here, it's still a half a mile away, or a mile away, or 5 miles away. Because then I'm going to have to go in the satas v'recha l'shiurim. Well, is it 20 blocks, is it 30 blocks, is it 80 blocks, is it 100 blocks, is it a 2 mile radius, is it a 5 mile radius? So when you're there, so therefore Tosis says, according to the reason why it's called a davish lebala oilam, because it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the Oris. That's a davish lebala. Just like you have the case of the person who is giving as a present the field that he didn't buy it. The field has been here from Sheshis and Mebreshis. The field was not created recently. But it's why it's a davish lebala, because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Jack Smith. When I buy it from him, I give it to you. That's called a makna davish lebala. And the same thing is over here, the concept of pay, it didn't belong to the Rabbi Yanai, it belonged to the Oris. As good as your question now has been addressed. No, Baruch Hashem. So now the Gemara continues on. Amalek. So Reb Chia on the Amid Aleph told this Talmud, Rabbi Yanai, Shaper Avdis. That you gave Trumas and Maisus on the Peiris which didn't reach you yet, you did a great job. It was fine. That's what the Pasuk allows for Kalei Yamin to go and tell you that even though it's a Dova Shaloi Boli Oilam, Mutalach, you did a great job. Rabbi Yanai, however, wasn't so sure. Amaleva Karyan Bachalma, that night I went to sleep and I saw a Pasuk shine in my dreams, and that Pasuk said, Kana Rotzutz. Kana are reeds, Rotzutz means which are splintered, which are shattered, which are broken. And therefore Rabbi Yanai says to his Rebbe, what pasuk could that be referring to? It must be a pasuk in Melachim Beis. My love, hochi ka amri li, hinei batachta lecho al mishenes hakone harotzitz hazeh. This is a pasuk in Melachim. If I have my facts straight, this was Sancheiriv who was taunting the Melech Yisrael, and he said to him, I know that you have been seeking the aid of the king of Egypt to go and come to your help against me, against Sancheiriv, who was the king of Ashur. He says, you're wasting your time. You're having betochen, you're relying on al mishenis, on the support of this konerotzitz, of this very shvacha, splintered, shattered reed. In other words, he's not going to be of much help to you. So I see the konerotzitz suggests that things are shvach. And if that's the case, you're telling me, Reb Chia, oh, what you did is great. Great job. Then why did Kadosh Baruch Hu send me this dream saying Kana Rotzitz, which sounds like this is a very, very weak link that I am relying on? He said to him, it's true you had that dream, but you're quoting the wrong pasuk. Hachik Amrilach. Loi. Hachik Amrilach. What they're showing you in the Shemayim is another pasuk in Yeshaya. Kana Rotzitz lo yishbar ufishtei cheya lo yechbena. What is this referring to? So this is a prophecy of Yeshaya Novi that the Asad Lovai when the Melech HaMashiach is going to go and come, he's going to say Melech HaMashiach is going to be so powerful that everybody throughout the world are going to recognize the fact that he is the king, and they're not going to put up any type of defense or offense against him. They're going to let him take over. Kana Rotzitz lo yishbar. You won't even have to think about breaking a Kana Rotzitz, because no one will even have the audacity, the thought of going against the Melech HaMashiach. He'll be in charge. Fishtacheya lo yechbena, you won't go and try to extinguish a fish. Give them time. Anyway, the point is that pasuk is telling you Kana Rotzitz is strong as an iron wall, as strong as an iron curtain, as strong as a Chinese wall. So therefore that pasuk is telling you what you did was absolutely correct and no problem. Therefore don't look upon this as being a bad omen. Look upon this as being a good omen, that what you did was absolutely correct. So now I see that both Rabbi Yannai and Rabbi Chiya agree. Odom matne davar shalod by the oilam. We go now to Rabbi. What is Rabbi hold? This time it says in the pasuk, "Loisaskir eved el adoinav." But this pasuk is a little bit obscure in terms of its interpretation, and in fact, there are a number of interpretations in the Gemara what exactly this means. Rabbi, I'll tell you what it means. It means belekeach eved al manas v'shacharoi hakosim medaber. What happens if you have a good Jew who sees that there is an Eved who is being enslaved? That Eved has found favor in the eyes of this fine Yid, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go and buy this Eved from its current Odoin on the condition, for the purpose of freeing him. What happens after the person buys this Eved? He has a change of heart and he says, you know what, let me use him as a slave for 1 week and then I'll let him go. Answer is, you're not allowed to do that. That's the Lisaskir Eved Aladoinav. If you made up that you're going to go buy this Eved for the express purpose, thank you, of being Meshachrim, of freeing him, you have no right to go and change your mind and go and start working with him. If you look at the Rashi on the fifth line, Al Manas the Shacharai, Umuzar Shaloy Lishdabed Boy. Once he makes up, he's buying the Shacharai, he has his shibud, in other words, he has the responsibility that he's not allowed to go and work with him anymore. Muzer, he is warned that Shloi Lishtab, but he's not allowed to go and work with him. So that's the Loisaska Evaradayev. Now, says the Gemara, Hei Chidami, explain to me, what were the mechanics? How did the person buy this Eved al Manas v'Shacharai? Hei Chidami, Omer Nachman bar Yitzchak, the Kosev Lei, he wrote to him in advance, Likishe Kochacha, the new Adoin, the one that's buying him, writes him a letter, writes him a document, Kishkochacha, when I buy you from your current Adoin, Hari Atzmacha, Kani Lucha Me'achshav, you'll already be free from today. In other words, as soon as the Kinyan takes place, that I buy you, immediately, on the spot, you're going to go and be free. Yet, but the moment, I don't own the Eved. Eved at the moment still belongs to the original seller. And therefore, what happens if he changes his mind? Maybe the deal won't go through after all. Since it's not mine, it's the Davar Shelo Balayla, even though he exists, but it doesn't belong to me. So you see from this, says the Gemara, the Rebbe holds that you can be Makna Davar Shelo Balayla, and in fact it works. Because when he told the Eved, as soon as I buy you, you're going to be free, he's not allowed to go work with him. And if he works with him, if he enslaves him, he'll be over in the Israel. He's asking him to join him. So we see, oh, the Makna Davar Shelo Balayla, and we go on to the Meir. The Nan.
The
Sanya. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Are we talking about an Eved Ivri or talking about an Eved Kanani?
I assume this is Eved Kanani.
Anymore it doesn't say, so I'm not 100% certain. But even if it's an Eved Kanani, there's a Mechloikis in the Gemara whether Oilam Bem Tavoidu is an Asay, one of the mitzvahs I say that you have to go and work with him. Well, Oilam Bem Tavoidu means you have a heter, you're allowed to go and keep them, as opposed to an Eved Ivri that you have to release after 6 years. Or you have to release in Yoivil year if he's an Eved Nirza. Eved Kanani, you're allowed to hold on to him forever and ever. So it could be that Rebbe, assuming we're talking about Eved Kanani, holds, yes, you're allowed to, but you're also allowed to free. There's no Isur in freeing him. Getting back to the Gemara, now we get to Rameir. Rameir is also one of those Tanoim in this long list that holds Odom Makne should Dovish Leibolayim. And this will be an easy brisa that we're going to quote now, because it's identical to the Mishnah that we started off with at the beginning of today's shir. When we started off today's shir, it was a Mishnah, because the Mishnah only had the first part. Since we also have Remeir, that's why it says on the side, Desanya, it's a Braisa. But this will be familiar to you. It says in the Braisa, so, Ima Leisha, a person says to a woman, Hari at mikudeshesli, I want to go and marry you, Li achashe es gayer, after I become a convert, I become again. Or Li'achashe tizgayri, after you convert. Li'achashe ishtachare, after I become free. Li'achashe ishtachare, after you become free. Li'achashe yomis balech, after your husband will pass away. Li'achashe tamas achisech, after your sister passes away. Li'achashe yachlitzloch yivamech, after the yovam gives you a chalitza. In all of these cases, ok, the Mishnah, or the Braisa, Ein amikudashes, because ein adam makna dava shalayim vali oila. Just like we started off today's Gemara. But Remeiroim amikudashes. How can it be kudashes? The person is still a goy, and you're telling me it helps to do kedushin. Obviously, they're not going to be married now. However, the maisa kedushin that you do now will be effective after he becomes a ger. Same thing is, a person can't go and marry two sisters, but if and when Chas V'Shalom the sister passes away, she'll be Mekudesh instantaneously. So you can go and do a Maisei Kedusha now, even though the Chalois will take place later. It's something similar to the person says, I'm marrying you, Mayoyim, Ulachesh Loishim Yoyim. Right? It's going to come the action of, and after 30 days. So after 30 days, it will become effective. I do the Maisei Kinyan now, and the effectiveness of the Chalois is going to be in 30 days. Here, it's going to be after one of these things transpire, after I convert, you convert, and so on and so forth. Since we see the mayor, I'm in Mekudashes, so therefore he's one of these very illustrious Tanoim that holds Adam Makne Davash Loyd Balay. Yes?
In the interim, if the person does not yet convert, mm-hmm. and somebody else gives her and she receives Kesef Kedusha.
Okay, so that's not our Gemara, but Mitchin gets Mesech Kedusha. We're going to talk about it. Someone who is Makadish Isha Meyachshav, La'achash Loishim Yoim, can he change his mind? Can she change their mind? Can he go and be Makadish somebody else? Can she take Kedusha from somebody else within those 30 days? Our Gemara doesn't address that, but we're assuming that nobody changes their mind, and therefore it will work Mekudesh. Yes?
What happens if the person doesn't finish the conversion process, or he gives up?
If he never converts, then nothing's going to happen.
Right.
It's only going to be a chal. It's on the condition that if and when I become a ger, then it'll be, the condition is going to work instantaneously. But obviously, if he doesn't become a ger, so we didn't fulfill the condition. What happens if the sister never passes away? What happens if the husband never passes away? Then
so
he'll never be married.
Until he converts, she can't make herself commit to another man.
So that's what Barry was asking a moment ago.
Sorry.
Whether or not either one can have a change of heart in between. So that's the Gemara Maseches Kedushin. You don't have to talk about these cases. The Gemara talks about similar cases of a person says, Hari at mikudeshes li miachshav viachrei shloishim yoy. In other words, I'm doing the Maisa Kedushin now, but I want it to be chal, be effective in 30 days from now. Can they change their minds in the interim? Can he change his mind? Can she change his mind? That's a sugi Maseches Kedushin. Next year we'll get to it soon. Because after Yevamos comes Tzuvos, and then we're going to get to Gittin Kedushin. It's going to be very exciting. Zog di Morabait. Maybe Nadarim comes first. We'll see. Rabbeinu Zimin Yaakov, Desanya. Listen to Blazman Yaakov. Yes, okay, number of Blazman Yaakov. Afilu im Omar, Peiris Haruga Zu Tulushim, Yehutruma al Peiris Haruga, which are Mechubarim. Or Peiris Haruga Mechubarim al Peiris Zu Tulushim, Likishaviu Shlish, Vyitlishu, Leviu Shlish, Vinitlishu, Dvorav Kayomin. What is this all about? As we know, there's a din, anytime you have a farmer who grows in Eretz Yisrael, produce, fruits, vegetables, whatever, you have to go and give truma some isis. Certain things are deraisis, certain things are derabanan, you got to give truma some isis. You can only give truma some isis after they are telushin. Telushin means after they are harvested. When something is still attached to the ground or to the tree, you cannot give truma some isis yet. What happens if the person says, I have arugazu telushin? Aruga means a furrow, a row in the field of paytas which I already cut, which are lying on the ground, for instance. I want them to be truma al paytas aruga mechubar. The paytas on the next furrow, where the paytas are still attached to the tree, attached to the vine, attached to the ground. is that effective? Or the other way around? Those peters which are mechuber, which are still connected to the ground or to the tree, etc., I want them to go and be truma on peters which are reclusion, which are already cut. So now, under normal circumstances, this doesn't work because you're being mafresh mi'apotter al hachayiv, mi'achayiv al apotter. Doesn't work. However, what happens if he says, I don't want it to become effective now? I'm not a hamu'uretz. I know, of course, that you can't go and give trumas and maestras from mechuber or on to mechuber. But I want this to be chal likish yaviu shlish v'yit lishu. At the point when these peters have grown at least one third of their growth, v'yit lishu, and they will then be harvested, I want then that the trumas and maestras should be chal. So, it's now in the middle of March. I know by the end of April, these peters will have reached at least one third of their size of their growth. At that point, I'm going to go and harvest them. At that point, however, I'm going to be extremely, extremely busy because it's a harvest season. I'm going to be running around like a chicken without a head. And therefore, I'm already giving the trumas and maestras now. I can't give the trumas and maestras now. It can't be chal now. The peters don't even exist yet. They're still budding. They're still blossoming. They haven't even reached a third of their growth. So I make the maisa trumas and maestras now, so that it should be chal. It should be effective after they grow a third and yitlishu and they are harvested. Why does the Gemara focus on a third? So Rashi quotes a Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, which in turn quotes a pasuk in the Torah, the osos es ha-tvua lishloish ha-shanah, that the tvua is going to go and grow for a period of 3 years. This is talking about in Parshas Behar, where we're talking about Shemitah, and farmers, when it comes to Shemitah year, are very nervous that they're not going to have a crop during the Shemitah year. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives them a special bracha, that the tefuah is going to grow in the sixth year for 3 years. For the sixth year, for the seventh year, and part of the eighth year. Eighth year, of course, you already start planting again and start harvesting again. But until you get the harvest, you have to eat something. So the Torah gives you a bracha that it's going to produce for 3 years. Now the Gemara darshins don't. But also says tefuah lishloish hashanim. I'll take lishloish el lishlish. Lishlish means a third. Therefore, the Torah is telling you is that by various peiros, once they reach a third of their growth, those are considered to be sufficiently edible. So go and be tolish them. You can go and harvest them, and at that point, they will automatically be chulin as soon as you go and harvest them. Why? Because you already gave the trumas and maestras a month ago. Even though at that time it was impossible to go and give the trumas and maestras, because at that time they didn't even exist. However, this one, the Yom Rabbeinu Ben Yaakov holds, Adam Makne Dover Shaloi Bala.
You can prepay.
You can prepay. Good. Varav Kayam. Yes.
Ariel. What would possess a farmer to harvest fruits that are only a third developed?
The Gemara is not suggesting that this is a wise thing to do. The Gemara is just telling us if this is what the person stipulated, it would work. The reason why it tells you about the third is because don't think that this could work even if the peters just begin to bud and they just begin to emerge. And you'll say, okay, I'm going to cut them now and the trumas and maestras will be chal, because there is no chiyuv of trumas and maestras until they reach at least a third of the growth. If you want to wait until half of the growth, or you want to wait until 100% of the growth, for sure. All the Mishnah is telling you is derech agav, just to throw in an extra halacha, that all of this will only work when it's at least a third of the growth, because less than a third, it's not considered to be a pri yet, and therefore there is no chiyuv of trumas and maestras, even if you harvest them, if it's not a third of the growth. And finally, Rabbi Kiva, which is the person that got us into the sugya in the first place. We repeat Rabbi Kiva from the Omer Aleph Tetnan. We already learned this a few minutes ago. If a person, a young lady, makes a koinim, she takes upon herself a vow, an isur, shani oisalaficha, I don't want my income, my maisiyadayim, to go to you, my husband. By the way, Ariel, again, we're not recommending this course of action, but if this were to occur, that the relationship between the husband and wife is less than ideal,
sour.
It's sour good and souring, and therefore she makes this very sour vow that she doesn't want to go and share her ma'aseh yadayim with her husband. And the circle of the Tanna Kamma says this is dvarim betalim. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't belong to her. Her ma'aseh yadayim belongs to her husband, so she can say whatever she wants. It's worthless. Rabbi Akiva Omer Yofer, no, he better make kafar. He better annul the vow. Shematadif olav yesim in a roilai. Maybe she's going to produce more than the minimum of the five saloim that Rashi referred to in the Amud Aleph. She's going to produce income of six or seven saloim, and that will belong to her and not belong to him. So if he wants to have anah, he has to go and be mefer and make a farzadah. And we already were medayik on the Amud Aleph. What do you mean? How can a person go and make a neder on something that doesn't exist? She didn't work yet, and she didn't get the salary yet. So how can she put in place an iser on that non-existent salary? So the chayra, you have to say that Rabbi Kiva holds adam makne davar shaloi bali oilam. And you remember on the Amud Aleph, the Mandiyamar on the third, fourth line, Amravuna b'Rav Yeshua nishkaraya. It's talking about buying meris. She didn't just say, I am assuring my salary. She says, I'm assuring now my hands. You see these golden hands that produce every week these five salaim. I'm being mekadesh them now by meris yikachi yadela isayim the yadayim isnu ba'alma. Oh, so according to Puna Rabbi Yeshua, this is no raya that Rabbi Kiva holds that adam matne dava shaloi bala oilam. Really? Rabbi Kiva holds like the rest of us. Ain adam matne dava shaloi bala oilam. So how was she able to make that neder? Because she did the neder on existing hands. So why did the Gemara now just finish saying that Rabbi Kiva is one of these many Tanoim and Amiroim that hold Adam Makne Dova Shaloi Bala Oilam? Because of Huna B'Rid Rabbi Shua's explanation of Rabbi Kiva, Pliga then argues with Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Because Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak learns the Mishnah simply, like it says word for word. It doesn't mention anything about Yodai, Yekachim. So therefore Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says, I'm sorry, I just learned the text of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, she made a neder on future income. Adam Matna Dovashal Balayla. For the Rabbi Shua said, no, you have to understand that mission that it's talking about Yekachi Yodalei. So we have a machloikis, what Rabbi Kiva really holds. Does he hold Adam Matna or Ain Adam Matna Dovashal Balayla? With this, we have concluded this sugya and we start a new shtickle. Boyimene, we're on the sixth wide line now of the Amud Beis. Boyimene Merav Sheshes. Eid Echad Biyavama Mahu. What is this all about? Remember we started off our perek a few blad ago on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, that you had a situation where a woman's husband traveled to Medina Siyam. Ubova Amrula, which the Gemara interpreted as one aid came and said, Meis Ba'alech, your husband died, unfortunately. Vinicius, and she remarried someone else. V'yachach Bo'bal, and then after that her original husband came on the scene. Ay, 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 Tate Mizel Mizet, she could get Mizel Mizet, Vain Laksuba, they pay for whatever, she gets a whole bunch of knossos for not doing her due diligence properly. Because had she done her due diligence, she would have found out that he's still alive. So, says our Mishnah, unfortunately, this lady gets a whole bunch of punishments, punitive damages for the fact that she married. She was an Ashes Ish. She was married to a person. The person, Moshe, was alive and kicking. She relied on one aid. So, Tetz Mizel Mizel. Now, what happens if, in fact, the husband, in fact, is dead, and never he's buried, and he doesn't come back? So, we're relying on one aid. Normally, Tzapishnaim Eidim Yakum Dab. But here, because of the Iguna, the Chachom were Mekel, and they relied on the fact that she will do the proper due diligence, and therefore they said, you can get remarried based on one aid. But be careful, be careful. But you can get married based on one aid. What the Gemara is asking now is, does the same thing apply in a case of Yibum? What means in a case of Yibum? You have over here the same type of woman. Again, she had a husband going out to Medina Siyam. One aid comes back and says, unfortunately, your husband died. She has a brother-in-law that says, unfortunately, your husband died and there are no children. You fall a Yibum. I am maskim to be miyabim. I'm ready, willing, and able to be miyabim. Can she rely on one aid? Or do you say, no, even was different. Maybe you need two aids. And that's the Gemara Shaila. What do you mean, Rav Sheshes? Aid Echa B'Yavama Mah. Is there any distinguishing factor between the case of our Mishnah when there was no Yibim situation? Why was there no Yibim in our Mishnah? Maybe there were children. Maybe there was no Yava. And so therefore, there was nothing to talk about. But here, there is a Yibim situation. So, can you rely on one aid to remarry, yes or no? Or to marry the Yava? So the Gemara time with the Eidach of Mishum the Milta David Ligluyay Loi Meshaker Lochanami Loi Meshaker. Even though we keep on pressing and saying that the reason for the reliance on one egg is because the Daika Uminsava, says Imar, maybe that's not the only reason, maybe that's not the major reason. Maybe the major reason is because no person wants to look like a fool. Today, people are not so careful about that. Many people do foolish things all the time. But at least in the good old days when people acted rationally, nobody wanted to be shown to be a fool or a liar or an idiot, because it was considered at that time to be not good shameful. For a person's reputation. I'm sorry?
Shameful.
It was shameful. Now today, unfortunately, things have changed. That's also shameful. But getting back to Agamar, the Gemara says, you know the reason why we rely on Eidach, Mishum de Milza David Liguya Lemishaka. Things which eventually are going to be, literally, to be revealed, to come out in the open, nobody's going to go and lie, because then you're going to look like an idiot. I said that yesterday, or that today, the stock market is going to go up 500 points. Oh, great, I'm going to invest a lot of money. And at the end of the day, it goes down 500 points, which unfortunately seems to be happening every day these days. It goes up and down and up and down. But the point is that a person is not going to make a prediction that he's going to look like a fool. So if he says something, presumably he knows what he's talking about. An aide is not going to go and say that Jack Smith died if he knows that there's a good possibility that a month from now he's going to show up alive. People say, hey, you're a machine, it's a traitor, you're deranged, you're a machine. So therefore, so the same thing applies in our case too. It makes no difference between whether there's a case of Yibum or not a case of Yibum. The same Eidachot is not going to be a Meshach. Or maybe like we keep on saying, she has to do her due diligence and call up all the detective agencies in the world. Here, however, by Ibam, Kim the Zimnan, the Rachmalay, sometimes she very much likes her brother-in-law. In other words, they've gotten together many times for family occasions, for parties, for chasanis, for bar mitzvahs, so she knows her brother-in-law very well. And Rashi says, Oyheves es Yivama. And she happens to have a liking towards that Yavam. And therefore, like Daiko Mintzva, as soon as she hears one aide saying that her husband passed away, she goes and whispers to Yavam, this is our chance. We'll be able to get married. Yeah, of course I'm going to call up the detective agencies, but we'll give them 3 days chance, and if they can figure it out, it's good. And then, so she's not going to do the proper due diligence. So that's the question of the Gemara. Do I have to be concerned that we won't have the benefit of the Daiko Mitzvah and we should not rely on the Eidach? Amru Rav Sheshes, I'll bring you a Raya. What's the Raya? From our Mishnah. Amrula, they told her, this is a Mishnah we learned yesterday back on Tzadik Beis, Amir Aleph. They initially told her, Meis Benech, Yachach Meis Baalech. They told her that unfortunately your husband and your son were never in a boating accident. Rachman al-Islam, the boat collapsed, and never both of them passed away. Who passed away first? First, the Ben passed away, and then the husband passed away. So at the time that the Baal passed away, there was a din of Yibam, because there were no children. Ben Einlai, there's no children. So therefore, Minisyamba, and she got married. In other words, to the Yibam, to the Yavam. And then a few days later, or a few weeks later, they tell her, Chilavadvar, unfortunately, it was the other way around. We made a mistake. Really, the Baal passed away first, and then the Ben passed away. That being the case, she did not fall Yibam after all. And not only did she not fall Yibam, but because of the fact that there is a son, then there's an Isser for this Yavama to marry the Yavam, and that Isser is called an Isser of an Eishes Ach. And it's so bad that Tate said she's got to go and leave Vavlad Rishali Achra Mamzer. If there are any kids that unfortunately were born from this union of the Yavama and her purported Yavam, he wasn't a Yavam, because unfortunately we have a situation where it was the father passed away first, and then the son, she had no right to marry this Yavam. She was Uyver and Isser Kores of Eshesach. Kids are Namach Mamzer. So now, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Now let's analyze the facts. Hey Chidam, what are we talking about? Ilei Matrei Utrei. Meaning, who's the Umrullah Meis Benech, Viachach Meis Balech? Who was that? If you're going to tell me that those were two Eidim. And then Viachach Umrullah Chilif Advan. Who were those guys? All the two Eidim. It's two against my cousin Samchasahani, Smoichahani. Maybe these two new ones that came on the scene, those are the false Edom. Maybe the first two, those are the correct Edom. And therefore, maybe this Yibam is perfect. And maybe, in fact, the children, not only they're not Mamzerim, they're wonderful children in Klal Yisrael. The Oid, it says in the Mishnah, Havlat Rishon V'Achron Mamzer, if it's two against two, maximum suffering Mamzerhu. It's not a Vaday Mamzer, because maybe the first two Edom are correct. Maybe the Ben died first, and then after that died the Baal, and maybe she does fully Yim after all. It's that maximum, it's a suffering Mamzer. You're saying a Vaday Mamzer. Maybe you're going to tell me, that's what the Mishnah meant when it said that a mamzer, we mean a suffering mamzer. Aye, so why do we say mamzer? A suffering mamzer, vadi mamzer, 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 mamzer. The Mishnah is not being so medactic in its lashon. From the Tani Sefer, look at the Sefer of the Mishnah, it says a Rishon mamzer, v'achron ein a mamzer. Oh, it depends. Rishon is a mamzer, second one is not a mamzer. So you see from the Mishnah that when they wanted to be medactic, they could be medactic very, very nicely. So we see the Mishnah is being medactic in its lishoinus. So can I be talking about two against two? Impossible. Because it's two against two. Why are you relying on the second pair? Rely on the first pair. Elav, what do I see from this? Shmamina chad. It's talking about that initially when it says Amrula, it was only one witness that said Meis Benech V'Yachkach Meis Balech. And based on that one aid, Nisyabma, she had Yibam. So you see that you can have Yibam based on one. So why do I say that subsequently Taitsev Avlad Rishon V'Achron Mamzer B'Taimed D'Osam B'Trei Rakashua? Ah, it was two against one. Now I understand. Which is, of course, just like the case of our Mishnah, that initially there was only one aid. Based on that one aid, the Rabbanan said, you can go get married. Do your due diligence, but you can go and get married to the Yavam. That's what she did. Subsequently, two aidim say, I'm very sorry, your husband is still alive. Baruch Hashem, oy, I shouldn't have married the Yavam, and now I better get out. So, what do I see from this? It's Talmud the Osabe Trey Akashua. Halav Hochi, if no new peer of Edom came on the scene, Mehaman, I see that one aid is believed. And therefore, says the Gemara, according to the first Lashon, then in fact, just like we rely on one aid in a case where there is no Yibam, like it said in our Mishnah, we rely on one aid, even in a case where there is Yibam. That was the first version of the story. We're going to have a second version. We're not going to complete it because it goes into the other days, but we'll just start it. The Yikadi Amar, Yikadi Amri, there's another pshat. No, there was another version. Haloiti Bailach, Tafili I Nami Mehemda. The question that we just raised, that we just spoke about, that's no Shaila. That what? That even the woman herself is believed if she says that my husband passed away. Even he had no Edom, not one Edom, not two Edom, the wife herself. Did not learn the Mishnah. A woman comes in town and people say to her, oh, aren't you a married lady? No, no, unfortunately my husband passed away. Tinase, unless we have any reason to doubt her, we believe her and she can go and get remarried. Meis Bali, she said, my husband passed away, to Siyabim. She can go and have Yibam. So even without an aid, just she says on herself. Kitzi Boilach, so what's the Shaila, the Mishra Yavam, the Alma? Not like the first version, to go and be Mater the Yavama to her Yavam, but to be Mater the Yavama to the world. Meaning that she says, Meis Yavamech, my Yavam passed away. Or she says that originally my husband passed away and then my son. And therefore I don't fully Yibam. Since I don't fully Yibam, I want to go and marry the Alma. So that's the Shaila according to the Ink of the Amri. Is she mutter to go and marry a Yavama Lashuk? My time of the Eidach Mishan the Miltabilaglu, Yelemishakir. Like we said before, that if there's only one aid, what's the story over there? The reason why we believe him is because since eventually people will know the facts, he doesn't want to go and say something that later he will look like a fool. So presumably he'll tell us the truth. There's Hochanam and Lemeshaker here too. If you have one aid that is telling us that she's no longer a Yavama because the Yavam died or because the husband died first and then the son, okay, we should be able to believe him. You know why we believe Eid Echad? Mishim di'ihi daiko mitzvah, like we said before. V'ha, in this case, loy daiko mitzvah, demisnahu. In this case, she's not medactic as to whether the Yovim is living or not, or whether the husband died first or the son died first, because in this version, she hates the brother-in-law. First version was, she has a good feeling towards him and she'd love to go and marry him under the right circumstances. Here it's the other way around. I could care less to heaven with my brother-in-law. I don't like him at all. This annulate. She hates him. So now the question is, can you go and rely on one aid or not? We'll learn tomorrow the outcome of that version of the question. Have a wonderful day.